Morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I'm joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
And Beth Habhager.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a great start to your day out there, everybody. Thank you so much for kicking it off with us. We got some That Ain't Right stories coming up for you, some good stories of the day, plenty more to touch on. We'll get some local stuff in there as well with our good stories and talk about some of those things. But for right now, I'm going to move out of the way and let the kitchen get open.
Yeah, all right. Today is Monday, January 30th, and I don't know about you, but life is busy. We're constantly juggling tasks and trying to get everything done at once. This happens at work, at home, and even in the kitchen. So what happens when you overcook something because you got distracted or pulled away from your task? Can it be fixed? Well, maybe if it's not pie, as we discussed in last week's segment.
Yeah.
But let's look at some of the common foods we make and see how they can be salvaged if you overcook them.
So you don't just have to pick up the phone and call for order.
Yeah, because in some places you can't do that.
Exactly.
Like here. So let's start with potatoes. Now, this is the whole reason I did this segment is because I overcooked some baby reds when I was making a roast last week. Neither my boyfriend or I were home all day, so we had little choice but to put them in when we started the chicken in the morning. And they cooked in water for at least 12 hours or so.
Wow.
They were edible with the chicken dinner, but reheating them didn't sound like a delicious option, so here's a few alternatives.
Yeah, the first and the probably best option, if you simply overboiled your potatoes, while simple, it does require some attention. So first, you have to drain the water, and then put your potatoes back in the pot. Put them back on the stove over medium heat and stir them almost constantly. You'll hear the sizzle of the water evaporating as the potatoes start to heat, so that's okay. Keep it up until you don't see water at the bottom of the pan anymore, and your potatoes will be almost mashed by this point. So then you just need to add lower the heat and add a little bit more butter or cream or milk and finish mashing them as you desire. You may need to lower the heat as the process goes on so that you don't scorch them. So be mindful of where you are with that temperature as well.
Yeah, that's why it requires a little more attention.
Mm-hmm.
Another option is turning them into something else. I used mine to make curry. But they could also be used to make a delicious potato salad.
Yeah.
So when you overcook potatoes, they release a lot of starch.
Mm-hmm.
This makes the potatoes gluey.
Yeah.
But it can cause, when you make a potato salad, it can cause the salad dressing to cling to the potatoes and the other ingredients really well. Mm-hmm. In my curry, the starch thickened my sauce really nicely and added the flavor of the roast that was completely infused into the potatoes. It added to the dish.
Good.
I did have to add an excessive amount of curry paste to match the roast chicken flavor so that it tasted like curry.
Right.
Not just, you know, like chicken broth. Yeah. But that was all right. It was just enough spice to make your nose run.
Right. And it's that starch that causes that foaming at the top of the water that sometimes runs over the pot. So that's why you see that when you're boiling your potatoes. Another option is to put your overcooked potatoes into quarters on baking sheets in a hot oven. You can use a little bit of oil, but don't use too much or the evaporating water will cause it to splash. As the water starts to evaporate, the outsides of the potatoes are going to start to get a bit crisp. So you can pull them out and finish preparing your recipe as desired, or you can add seasonings or cheese and finish them under a broiler and you've got wonderful crispy wedges.
Yum, because they'll still be soft and perfect on the inside.
Mm-hmm. And that nice crispy crunch on the outside. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Another food that we eat a lot of is rice. Now, if you're cooking your rice in a rice cooker, the process practically takes care of itself, as long as you measured right. But for those of us who don't have a specialized kitchen implement for cooking rice, a kettle with a lid and the stove can work perfectly fine. But what about when it doesn't?
Okay, well, first let's talk about the different ways that you can cook rice, because there are so many ways that you can do it. The bag just says to add 1 cup of rice to 1.5 cups of water, bring to a boil in a saucepan, and simmer with the lid on for 15 minutes or until the water is gone. The rice cooker method is Very straightforward as well. You simply measure your rice with the provided measuring cup and fill the pot to the same number of scoops, 1:1. So it's an equal ratio. Mm-hmm. Depending on the type of rice that you have, this method should work just fine. Did you know that you can cook rice like pasta?
Actually, I didn't.
It's amazing. You just fill a large pot with water, you add your rice, and cook for about 8 to 10 minutes or until it's slightly underdone, and then you drain the rice and return it to the pot, covering it to let it stand for another about 5 to 10 minutes so the rest of the moisture gets absorbed. You can also, their silicone cooking steamers work really well, and you can do your rice in the microwave then.
Yeah, there are so many ways to cook rice. You can also bake it in the oven.
Use
a 2-quart baking dish. Combine 1 cup of rice to 1 3/4 cup boiling water. It's important that it be boiling.
Okay.
And then 2 tablespoons of butter and 1 teaspoon of salt. Cover it tightly and bake at 375 for 22 to 27 minutes. If you have an instant pot, you can also make rice in there. This calls for a 1:1 ratio of rice to water. Lock the lid. Set it to high pressure for 10 minutes. You'll use the natural release method before removing the lid and fluffing the rice.
Mm.
Now, as Beth already mentioned, the last option we're going to talk about is the microwave.
Yeah.
This is actually the way my mom always made rice. And
really?
We often had rice for breakfast. Yeah. We would have rice instead of like hot cereal or oatmeal.
Okay.
But you make it like you would that. Add butter and sugar, cinnamon, and salt. It's actually a really good breakfast.
Mm.
So you need a large bowl. And obviously a large microwave. Follow the directions on your rice package for the ratio of water to rice and add 2 additional tablespoons of water. You put it in the microwave and cover it with a cotton dish towel or paper towel. Stir it after 10 minutes and microwave for an additional 10 to 15 minutes or until the water is gone. Now, there's a lot of specifics on the internet when I looked this up about, you know, the first time you do it on high for 10 minutes, the second round of microwaving, you lower your power level to like 50% or something like that. My mom never did any of that. And she never put a towel over it either. She would just mix the rice in the water, throw it in there. The only downside to not using the towel is that sometimes the top layer would get a little dried out.
Okay.
Especially if she overcooked it, which, you know, happens in the morning when you're busy and you've got 4 kids, you're trying to get ready for school. But if you add enough butter, sugar, and milk to it, it doesn't even matter.
There you go. And now, I mean, that was a generation ago, and now we do have these silicone steamers that you can put a lid on it, and it vents it for you, and then you don't have to worry about the top layer being crispier than the bottom layer.
Yeah.
So what if one of these methods, you've tried this, and you still fail, which can happen a lot?
Oh, yes, with any one of these
anything. Your rice turns out to be overcooked and starchy. Okay, what do you do then? If it's only a little sticky, you can dump it into a colander, rinse it under some cool water, and then spread it out on a baking sheet and reheat at 350 degree oven for about 5 minutes or so. It's, again, something you're going to want to keep your eye on to check it along the way until it gets to the texture you want. That could take a little less time. It could take more time. So keep an eye on it. You can also do this on the stovetop in a kettle. Just stir as you go and cook off some of that moisture that was left in there. Just watch so it doesn't scorch again. If you're going to do stovetop, you really need to be at the stove. Another option, if the rice is done, but there's still water in the pot, you can put a piece of stale bread on top of the rice. Cover the pot and allow it to continue to cook on low heat. And then in a few minutes, the bread should have absorbed the excess moisture, and that's where the stickiness will be, and the rice should be fine.
Yeah. Now, this does require you to have a piece of stale bread laying around, but, I mean, that happens.
Yeah. Well, if it's the bread that you used in your storing of your cookies, to take the you know, let the cookies take the moisture, then you use that bread, and now put it on the rice.
There you go. So alternately, there's lots of ways that you can repurpose overcooked rice.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, some recipes specifically call for overcooked or sticky rice. Now, soup is the obvious easy fix because, as is fried rice.
Right.
But you could also make fried rice cakes.
Ooh.
So form the mushy rice into patties, like a hamburger, about 1/2 inch thick. Salt and pepper both sides and fry them in a little bit of olive oil over medium heat for 2 to 3 minutes on each side. you'll have a rice patty that's crispy on the outside and creamy on the inside. And it works great as a platform for proteins and veggies. You can also do a similar thing, but make them thinner and add other ingredients like you would for a potato pancake. Cheese or green onions or even garlic would work great for this.
Ooh, so it sounds like it's a savory option, but I bet you could make it sweeter too and add some cinnamon and sugar.
Oh, yeah.
Yum.
And then a dollop of ice cream on the top.
Oh.
So maybe some chocolate or caramel syrup.
Yeah.
Dessert.
Some people might intentionally now start to overcook the rice. And if you do, and that's not something that sounds good, how about meatballs? Because meatballs are another great food to add overcooked rice to. It adds to the filler, but it won't sacrifice the flavor. Overcooked rice works great as baby food as well. Think about the consistency that you usually have. So it's easier for them to eat than regular rice that has a bit more of a denseness
texture.
To it. So because they don't need to chew it as much. If it's overcooked, it's already soft. It's easier for their gums to use. You can serve it as is, or you can mix in pureed vegetables and fruits. So there's a little bit more flavor because you know plain rice doesn't necessarily have a lot of flavor to it. So add what you can to kind of add the flavor that you want. And of course,
and that add more nutrients too.
Exactly. You know, you mix it with some pureed carrots or something like that, and it adds a little bit of sweetness. Just add milk. You can also make it into pudding.
Yeah.
Rice pudding can be excellent. And again, with that, you just add the milk, cinnamon, sugar, raisins, vanilla extract, and then you mix well and serve warm.
My mom used to make rice pudding all the time. It was one of our favorite treats. And she, well, I shouldn't say she made it all the time. It was a treat now and then that she would make for us. But it would take so long to cook and we get so impatient. But if you start with already cooked rice, it's ready like instantly.
Wow. And that's not something that I was used to growing up because I always think rice, ooh, bland. But if you think about the things that you're adding in and it's sweetening it up, oh, it sounds wonderful.
And you can really go crazy with the different kinds of fruit that you put in there. If you're not a raisin fan, what about dried blueberries?
Yeah.
Or dried cherries?
Cranberries in this area? Dried cranberries?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. So now let's move on to what if you overcooked your meat? Well, you can't really save it in any of the ways we've talked about saving an overcooked starch or carb. Tasty meat is a combination of protein, fat, and liquid. When you've overcooked it, all you're left with is the protein, and the fat and the liquid is basically gone. So here's a couple of ways that you can save overcooked meat.
Yeah, the easiest option is to chop up the overcooked meat and mix it with fat and flavor. So if you have a food processor, throw the meat in there and add some maybe olive oil and puree it. Then you can use it as a stuffing in things like hand pies and empanadas to dumplings and ravioli. You can also use a little bit of the cooking liquid to add flavor when you mix it.
I actually did this yesterday. I made dumplings for dinner and we had some leftover stuff from our meal we ate out on Saturday night. And it was actually duck livers with mushrooms. And it was an appetizer, but there was so much of it. It was like, we cannot possibly eat all of this. So I chopped it up real fine and mixed it with some more mushrooms and cabbage. And made it as a stuffing to put into dumplings. It turned out really good.
I'm coming to your house when you have leftovers.
So another thing that you can do with overcooked meat is to deep fry it. This will turn your overcooked brisket into something very bacon-like.
Now, who doesn't like bacon?
Most people do. For overdone chicken, you can shred it really fine and mix it with mayonnaise to make a chicken salad. Because that's going to give it the moisture that you need and just add flavor.
So one website did say, though, that the worst thing you can do if you've got overcooked meat is to just add water. So don't think you're going to save a dried out roast by throwing it into broth and making it in soup. But you can try to immediately simmer it in a little broth and add just a little bit of vinegar or lemon juice because the acidity in there helps to tenderize the meat so that it doesn't feel so dry in your mouth. Alternately, if your roast turns out tough, putting it in an Instapot for about 20 minutes will turn it to fork tender. Mm-hmm. The liquid and the pressure of the pressure kind of helps soften that connective tissue that makes it tough. So it's in the muscle fibers, and because it's tenderized, it just makes it fall apart.
Yeah. We had to do this actually not too long ago. We cooked a roast, and it was on high for like 6 hours, but it was still tough. So my boyfriend throws it in the Instapot. 20 minutes later, it was like it had, you know, cooked for 12 hours on low heat. It was perfect.
But you have to have an Instapot to make that happen. So some of these other alternatives may be the better option for you. Mm-hmm. And we're not done. There's still another alternative.
So the last thing is, sauce is your friend. Mm-hmm. Barbecue, A1, even sweet sauces like sweet chili or plum sauce can help when you've overcooked the meat.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that the saltiness and the meatiness of the food will be pronounced when it gets tough and dry, so sweetness and acidity will pair better with it than adding more salt.
So think sweet and sour kind of things together. Mm-hmm. So that saltiness and sweetness, just the salt will bring out the flavor of the sweet.
Yep. Let's be real. We all like sauces.
Yes.
I mean, most of us do. I do. I dip. When we have tartar sauce, mm-hmm. I probably eat more tartar sauce than I do fish.
Sauces can be your best friend.
They are. They're delicious. And it can definitely help if you've overcooked the meat. Mm-hmm. But if you can repurpose it in another way, you know, sometimes that's the better option.
Right. And don't be afraid. I mean, if you get into the kitchen and things happen, you know, our attention gets taken away, there are always options. And don't be afraid to go to the internet or come back and listen to this podcast and see what you can do with what you've overcooked.
Yeah. And if you have questions, let us know.
Yeah.
Send us an email. melissa.k@civicmedia.us. We'd love to hear your feedback on the show. And if there's a topic that you'd like to hear, drop us a line. Let us know.
Absolutely. We'd love to cover them for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that, I think we'll close the kitchen.
That is a good one. That was a really, really good one, you guys. I can't imagine how many people have run into that. Everybody who's ever cooked more than once has overcooked something or burnt something or something like that. I also know one of the biggest things that is a concern to people out there, and I think always has been, but there's been more of a rise of it, is not wasting food.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's a great topic right there. That was a good one.
Well, food is expensive.
It can be.
Yeah,
and finding
it's
ways to make it go further is the best thing you can do.
This is why I don't eat much. I just kind of cut food out. No. Thank you so much, both of you. Really, really knock it out the park every time with that segment. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Take a break. We'll come back and we'll have some fun. We come back on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Time for us to dive into a little bit of entertainment news. And The Simpsons is never going to die.
Okay.
Going to start off. Biggest headline. The Simpsons has been renewed for seasons 35 and 36.
Wow.
I cannot tell you how good that
James
makes me feel.
James is happy.
I'm very, very happy.
And yet the kids never age.
They never age, never change their clothes.
It's a great thing about cartoons.
On the positive side, Homer still has many hairs as when he started this whole thing. So,
there
I mean,
you go,
there's that part
March
of it.
Too.
Yes, March too. Man, beautiful hair of Marge's. Yes. I think that it's really, we're close to it, and I'm obviously very close to it, so I should take myself out of the conversation. You're never going to see anything like this in entertainment history again. The rise of reality shows, of course, Survivor going into season 90 or whatever, like that stuff is going to happen. And there's going to be shows that will have long show runs and that kind of thing. There'll be plenty of high animated rated shows, all those things. You'll never see anything like The Simpsons again. Like this again. It's grandfathered in on so many things. Just behind the scenes, The Simpsons have a thing that they did a long time ago when they were really like the only thing that Fox had. And like, well, we like to pick on Fox, and we know that you guys don't always like that. So we want to be able to still get away with that. So you know what? We're not going to sign another contract unless we have a say on our final script. If I want to name my episode, if I'm the writer on The Simpsons and I want to name my episode Fox is Horrible, I can do that. it's something that no writer's room, there's no TV show. Name me the biggest TV show on anything right now, any network. Nobody's got a deal like that.
No.
Nobody has anything like that. What the Simpsons did for animators, mm-hmm. what they did for voice actors, what they did, all those things, like, changed the game. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even get into the music. I mean, Mr. Plow, and there's so many great things about the Simpsons. I'm very happy about that. Very excited. That's cool. I don't know how excited people will be about this. We could stick with the animation, just kind of different, audience. There's going to be a Bluey soundtrack.
Good.
There's been some Baby Shark stuff, mm-hmm. where they've had the song, and then there's kind of spin-offs of it, right. And all those things. The Bluey people saw this and well, no, we're getting in on that. We're getting in on that.
Okay, but Bluey is really, really good.
Bluey is, I know my nephews love Bluey. It's how I know who that is. And we should say for the audience out there that is not around young children or, mm-hmm. or has children or anything, Bluey is one of the more popular kids' characters and has been for a good while. I mean, it's been around for a while, hasn't Bluey?
It's a little puppy that's Australian. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's only 3 seasons.
There is, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I thought it just feels like it's been around for a long time, I guess.
Isn't Bluey on Disney Plus?
Hmm.
Is that the platform?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, it is. Yep, it's on Disney Plus.
Well, a Bluey, to go along with those 3 seasons, you'll have a soundtrack soon. It's called Bluey Dance Mode. And it drops on April 21st. It features 17 songs from all 3 seasons, including Be-Op, Walk, Rain, Boldly in the Pretend, Cat Squad. You know, all the hits that we've all danced to a million times. I don't know. I do know that it does seem like a fun cartoon. It does seem like my nephews love it.
Mm-hmm. Originally on ABC Kids.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, that's why it would be on Disney Plus. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my kids are just old enough that they missed that, but I've seen in passing. It's cute.
It's preschool level. It's adorable, and the accents are so much fun.
Oh, that I do remember. That I couldn't tell you one thing about that show, even though I've seen it a dozen times on the TV when I'm around my nephews and everything. I do. The accents are great. The voices are great. That I have caught. So, how many people do you think understand what AARP is? The American Association for Retired Persons.
Right.
I think that most people know or have heard at least the acronym, the AARP and all that before. I don't know if people understand necessarily what the organization is completely, or that they have an Oscars.
What?
The AARP announced its Movies for Grown-Ups Awards over the weekend. Well played, AARP.
Yes.
Very well played. Nicely done. they held their annual Movies for Grown-Ups Awards, and here are the big winners. The Best Picture, Best Movie for Grown-Ups, Top Gun Maverick.
Interesting.
Not too surprising, but interesting. Yeah. I'm with you there. Interesting. I love that that Top Gun movie didn't get nominated for certain things for special effects and all this, but it did get nominated for best screenplay, something about not best screenplay, but best adapted screenplay or something that. And everybody I talked to that's seen that movie, I'm like, well, is there some dialogue in there? No, there's barely any dialogue.
There you go. They couldn't screw it up.
Apparently. Best Actress went to the wonderful Michelle Yeoh Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Best Actor went to Brendan Fraser for The Whale.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy for both those actors. Both of those actors, in very different ways and many different, very different paths, both worked so hard to get to where they are. And both were told many, 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 many times that they would never have a career, let alone you would ever be in the public
eye. Name.
Or be nominated for an Oscar or any of this stuff. I love Brendan Fraser, so I could go on and on about him. But with Michelle, as an Asian actress over the age of 40, there's only a handful of roles that are open for you.
Right.
Hey, do you want to play, do you want to do period pieces going back into Japan and China? Because I'm not going to ask you what race you are. I'm just going to put you in whatever Asian culture I want.
Right.
Even if you are Chinese, I'll make you Japanese, any of this stuff. That's what those actors have to deal with. Then to say that she's done all this in an action movie where she kicks daylight out of it, man. I mean, she is all over the place in that movie. She's just so good in it. Gosh, if you have not seen Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, It's a good one. See that one, people. The Whale was really good, too, with Brendan Fraser. Best Supporting Actress went to Judith Ivey for Women Talking.
Okay.
Best Supporting Actor went to the great Judd Hirsch for The Fabelmans. Baz Luhrmann won for Elvis for Best Director. Best TV Actress went to the wonderful Cheryl Lee Ralph for Abbott Elementary.
Yeah.
She's really good on
yes,
that show.
Yes, she is. She's just good, period.
She is. She's a rising star right now. I'm noticing that while I was really hoping for Katrina Brunson to really be the I think that she is the star of that show, and her, you know, she's got plenty of work. I'm always happy when these kind of other sub-actors get a chance to kind of get in the limelight, and then the rest of the world notice, oh, that person's really talented. I should make them work more and put them in commercials and things.
And Cheryl Lee's been around for a while, so to finally have a show where she's being recognized like this is phenomenal.
I mean, we were kids seeing her, you know? She's a great actor. Best TV actor, the wonderful Jeff Bridges for The Old Man. That also won for the best TV series, but hold up here, AARP. Hold up. Is there some bias in giving, like, as I agree, The Old Man was an incredible TV show, and I love Jeff Bridges, but you're the AARP. Isn't it a little on the nose to give Old Man the best TV? I mean, it feels a little bit on the nose. It feels a little, I digress. I'll keep moving. And career achievement went to one of the greats, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know if the Academy will ever give her flowers like she deserves. It's nice to see whenever actors like that get a little bit of a shout out.
Yeah.
And especially, not only is she continuing to work and everything, she's in that movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once. I've never seen her before. I've been watching her since I was a kid in Training Spaces, and I've never seen her do like what she did in that movie.
Right.
She's darn good.
Well, and she's one that's embraced her aging.
Yeah.
You know, not a lot of actors in Hollywood would do that. How often do we hear about, you know, Botox and cosmetic surgeries and all? And she's one like, no, I'm human, I age, and I'm going to claim that and be proud of it.
Most actors, in fact, all actors need work. You don't have a retirement plan or anything like that. It's why you see George Clooney doing, you know, selling coffee and things like that. When she started doing the, I forget what they were called, but it was the yogurt that helps you go and all that and stuff. And she's doing those ads. No actor in the world wants to necessarily do that or be the face of that. She owned it.
Yep.
She, you know, hey, like you said, I'm getting older. Yep. I need these things. I'll go ahead and do it. And yeah, it's a great paycheck and I could use that paycheck, but I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it proudly like only Jamie Lee Curtis could.
Right.
And now she's gotten, like, this doesn't happen very often where she's gotten more work because of the success of those commercials. Usually an actor, I'm this high up on the mantle and then my star fades and I start doing commercials and that's kind of where my career stays. Her career has bounced back quite a bit because of the way she has embraced all these things.
Yep.
And she's still very talented too.
Oh, absolutely.
That, you know, this is the most frustrating thing to me about these actors. Hey, why didn't I see Helen Mirren when she was in her 20s or 30s? And why didn't I see, you know, this actor or so-and-so? They were just as good then. Maybe, you know, a lot of times you practice and you get a little bit better and stuff. But the talent is talent. I mean, it's not as if these actors weren't great back then. It's just, oh, you're 35? Well, unless you want to play a grandmother, I've got no use for you as an actor.
Right.
Like, now it's gotten much better.
Mm-hmm.
But for way too long, that was the case. Whereas if I'm a guy at 35, oh, there's plenty of jobs. Let me help you find a job. Doesn't make any sense. I like this though. I actually feel like I want to give up my Oscar voting, and I want to be able to vote on this. I want to vote on this.
In
instead.
A few more years, you can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A few years to go, James.
Thank you for the reminder.
Hey, some of us are closer than you are. So
it just really hit me there for a second. You know, I need a break. I need a break. I need to clear my head. We'll just go to Melissa's news. We'll go to Mel's news. We'll come back, have a bunch more fun with some That Ain't Right stories. Good stories of the day all coming up for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Locally grown radio. We hope you're having a good one out there. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. And, you know, I get a little jealous sometimes of Melissa and Beth's show, The Kitchen's Open. So I try to, like, talk about food stuff and act like I know what I'm talking about. And I'm usually way off. I'm usually really wrong. But I can't help myself with this one because it involves pasta. And I feel like I'm pulled to this one. I'm drawn to this one.
It's in your blood, James.
It is. You cut me open. Noodles. Noodle fallout.
You're not just stringing us along, are you?
Nice. Nicely done. Is this person a genius or has anyone else ever tried this? Some guy has been trending on TikTok after he came up with a hack to make pasta stir itself while it's being cooked. If you don't stir it, it clumps together. But you don't want to stand over it, so here's the hack. Turn the burner up too high, but only put half of the pot on it. In other words, it's off on to one side, not centered on the burner. He does it in the video, and it makes that side of the pot boil a lot harder than the other side, so the macaroni he's cooking gets rolled around by the boiling water, and he doesn't have to stir it at all. Some people think it's great. Others pointed out that you can get away with only stirring pasta once right after you put it in the water. So it might just take longer to cook and not be worth it. I didn't see anybody mentioning what a safety hazard this is.
Yeah.
I digress on that. I won't ramble about that too much, but I really don't understand how you can get away with this. Like, I'm showing Beth just a real quick snippet of it.
Okay.
And he's got it right on the, literally like I described, on the side of the oven. And it's a flat oven.
Great. Yeah, it's a glass top oven. So
yeah,
that you've got the circles rather than having the coils that you normally have.
Better. Yeah. That's a little better.
Yeah.
But
Your pan's not tilted then.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. And I imagine that he's talking about people that only have these glass top ovens. So I guess there's that part of it. Not everybody has one of those.
No.
Also, how lazy are you? How lazy? It's pasta.
Stir it once.
Yeah.
Like, of all the, what has happened? What's going on here? Like, you know what? Give me the pasta. You don't deserve it. You give me that pasta. You don't deserve it.
No pasta for you.
None. No pasta for you.
So is it him putting it on there? Or is it going viral because everybody else is watching it?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
I'm interested. I either way, it's this may just be me, but to me, this is a that ain't right story.
Yeah.
Thank you. I thought I'd be alone. I didn't know what I'd think, but I didn't know if I'd have some support on this one because I feel like this is one of the most lazy things I've ever heard of in my life.
You take 2 seconds as soon as you put the dry pasta in the water, you stir it up a little bit, and then you're good.
You're pretty good until you need to check it anyway.
Exactly.
But it's a waste of energy, too, because you're turning your burner up on high and then only using half of it.
Yes.
Unless that's how you're choosing to heat your kitchen.
Not a smart idea.
No.
We never said he was wise.
I don't know. I know I'm going to get in trouble for this one, but I can't help myself. I didn't have to read that it was a guy doing this. Mm-hmm. I knew. I'd have bet $1 billion that it was a man that came up with this hack, quote unquote hack. That, there's not to say that a woman couldn't think of a way to save time, or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a difference of shortcuts. Or, hey, instead of doing this, this is a little easier or simpler or time-saving.
Right.
And
or here's a way to be as lazy as possible.
Exactly.
Yes.
Where that's more of our field. That's more of our wheelhouse.
So we're talking laziness or efficiency.
There's a part of me, too, that just feels like that there's no way those noodles cook right.
No.
I've got this wrong in the logistics or whatever or anything, but one of the biggest things to me when I'm making pasta, because I love making pasta, I love cooking for people, and I like making spaghetti in particular. It's my favorite thing to make for people, in part because I've made it so many times. I'm good at it. I know how to do it. But I can't handle if even like 4 out of 1,000 noodles are hard or they're too mushy.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a perfect way to get them. And everybody that's out there that's made noodles, you guys know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Just get them just right.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to be there watching over the pot to do that. It doesn't take a lot of heavy lifting. It's just you check on it, keep an eye, stir.
Well, we mentioned earlier, you should not leave a oven that is being heated or is being used in any way. And part of
unattended.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't do that. But you want your food to cook consistently. And to do that, there's going to be way too much inconsistency.
Yeah, yeah. That ain't right. I don't know. I just don't know about that one. That just bugged me a little bit. But if it works and, you know, you need that much. I don't see what big, because like if you sit and you make noodles traditionally, mm-hmm. what's the big time killer here? I mean, it's not as if that's an hour process or something mm-hmm. like that. If you're doing it, if it's taking too long, you might not be doing it right. You might, to me, a hack is supposed to not only save you time, but ease and you know, be a little bit of a smoother process. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've already learned that 1,000 years ago when we first started doing this. Like, I feel like we learned that once we learned how to boil water.
Right.
Well, and there's plenty of other things you can do in that 7 minutes while your pasta's cooking,
mm-hmm. yes.
like making your side dish, your vegetable, mm-hmm. or your sauce, or yep. cleaning up the mess you already made in the kitchen to prep stuff to start to cook. I mean, there's better ways to be efficient.
Somewhere, my Nana just had this big Joker goofy smile pop on her face when Melissa said that.
Yep.
That was one of her favorite things. You, mm-hmm. you were sitting, if you got done, you know, grinding that cheese up in those old cheese machines that, yeah, like the only reason I have good forearms, I think, are because of those things. What are you doing now? Here's some onions. Yep. Here's some lettuce. Jimmy, give me this. It was always that.
Yep.
I think that's the reason why we the noodles have to boil, is just so you have things to do like while you're
so
doing
that. So you have time to do other things.
Yes, yep. Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Take a break. We'll come back with some That Ain't Right stuff. Good stories of the day. Plenty of fun for you on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR. We are locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here. We'll take you to the top of the hour with some good stories of the day. Touch on some local stuff while we're at it as well. And we're going to get into this one, and you can find the complete article at a couple of places I'm pulling from here for this next topic. I got one from WPR.org. That's Wisconsin Public Radio. Shout out to Gabby Vinnick for that. And, of course, to our friends at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Also pulled this article from them. I want to send a shout out to Carol DePatalia for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for the reporting on this one. We're talking about the Wisconsin semifinalist for the James Beard Awards.
Ooh.
Hmm. And it's like the Oscars for food.
Mm-hmm.
The James Beard Foundation recognizes the awards and awards. The culinary excellence is a hallmark of the restaurant industry. You can talk to anybody in this industry, and their dream is to do this, mm-hmm. to win an award, to be nominated, I should say, for a James Beard Award. I hear most people say that, not so much winning, but just to be nominated for something like that. Well, 9 Wisconsin chefs and restaurants across the state were named semifinalists for the James Beard Restaurants and Chef Awards last Wednesday.
Wow.
This recognizes and awards culinary excellence. It's a hallmark of the restaurant industry, and it has been for quite some time. Many people do consider it the Oscars for the food world.
Mm-hmm.
The Hickman House in Ellison Bay was named a semifinalist for the Outstanding Restaurant this year.
Wow.
The restaurant on the Door County Peninsula yep. is owned by Appleton native Mike Holmes and opened in 2012.
Wow. Mm.
Going to the Journal Sentinel for a couple of other of these. Loopy and Iris, semifinalists for the best restaurant in the U.S. Loopy and Iris in downtown Milwaukee by Michael DeMichael and Chef Adam DeSiegel. Amy and Jason Kirstein and Joe Munch and Dan Seidner of Black Shoe Hospitality, national semifinalists for Outstanding Restaurateur.
Nice.
That is pretty cool. We mentioned the Wickman House there. Already got that. And Jamie Hong of Anna, national semifinalist for Emerging Chef.
Okay.
That's kind of a cool category, the top emerging.
Yeah.
Andrew Hutchinson of Madison Sourdough, national semifinalist for the Outstanding Pastry Chef or Baker.
Wonderful.
Dan Jacobs and Dan Van Ritta and Gregory Leon, Francisco Mangola, and a couple of others are semifinalists for Best Chef in the Midwest. These are all Wisconsin chefs.
Wonderful.
Mm. This is pretty cool.
Yeah.
The semifinalists for the Midwest category, which encompasses Iowa, Kansas, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North and South Dakota, in addition to Wisconsin, include former Wisconsin residents Yia Vang of Union Hmong Kitchen in Minneapolis. Finalists will be announced March 29th. The awards will be presented to the winners on June 5th in Chicago.
Wow. We'll have to keep our eye on this one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how this one goes. Win or lose, doesn't matter. You guys have already won. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to all those chefs. Thank you, chef. Mm-hmm. Thank you, chef. Yes, chef.
Yes. World-class dining right here at home.
That's pretty cool. I think locals will tell you, anybody, you know, from Wisconsin, in Wisconsin will tell you, oh, yeah, we got great food. We got great chefs in this state. Mm-hmm. It's nice mm-hmm. to see some national recognition for
yes.
that.
Yeah.
I also wanted to take a moment, Beth, just to remind people again, not just, of course, people wanting to look for some great produce, but to vendors out there about the Wisconsin Rapids Winters Farmers Market.
Right. A lot of the farmers market is actually more market than farmers mm-hmm. at this point. Mm-hmm. We do have a wide variety of vendors that have been coming in. We do have some regulars that have been coming and will probably be with us the entire season, which goes through April 29th. So every Saturday morning into the afternoon, so 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., over at the Moravian Church. We're at 310 First Avenue South. You can get to us on Goggins. We are right across from the Lowell Center on 3rd Avenue as well. So we've kind of covered that entire block. We do have an elevator so that if you're worried about, am I going to be able to get to the vendors? Yes, we have a way for you to get there. We had 15 different vendors this last week, which included salsa. It included apples. It includes fry pies and things like that. This coming week, I'm told that we're going to have somebody selling fresh fish. So if you're in the market for fish, you can come check us out. So come. What I like to tell people is you're never going to see the same combination of vendors 2 weeks in a row. It's always changing. We're always open to get more. If you're looking to be a vendor and have a booth, you can find more information at our website, wrmoravian.org. Click the More tab and scroll down to Winter Farmers Market. There's two options there. One to just get information on the market, and the other one is specifically for vendors with any paperwork that you would need to fill out and information about how much it would cost to have a booth. And we happen to really appreciate the promotion that Civic Media was doing last week with the advertising giveaway. We were able, as a market, to apply for that and found out that we were one of the people that got the money.
Yay. So awesome.
We will be doing more advertising. You'll get to hear more information about what's going on and where to find us and all that great information on these airwaves. So keep your ears open for that.
Oh, looking forward to it. That's really cool to hear. Again, the Farmers Market, you can find more at wrmoravian.org. Right to you, go to the right to that webpage. There's a little section, more section, and you'll find out more there.
Or you can find us on Facebook as well. We have our own Facebook page, Wisconsin Rapids Farmers Winters Farmers Market.
Going to our good news, goodnewsnetwork.org for this next one. A new survey revealed that seniors are becoming more daring with their hobbies and interests, adding marathons, hang gliding, and even getting a tattoo to their bucket list. The poll of over 2,000 adults over 50 found that 62% are keen to embrace things now more than they used to when they were young. 47% have a new outlook on life. Writing a book, taking up skiing, or conquering a mountain are among the things on their list, confirming that 53% of respondents believe, quote, age, just a number, just a number. Many want to become fluent in a new language. Others want to finally learn how to play an instrument that they've always wanted to. Now, there's a lot of rise and reason to this, but mostly it is just a lot of the people that are now getting to that age, seeing a lot of people when they were young at the age that they are currently at, and being, I want to learn. I want to embrace some of the things that I saw that they were doing that I think apply to my life, and some things that maybe that don't. But one of the bigger things is we're all getting older, people, and and the people that are in their 60s now are not, you know, are a different group than the people that were in their 60s before, of course, and like this always happens in society. But you've got a lot more people that were interested in these things that are now getting to those ages, and they're not willing to, like, stop doing them, or they didn't have the time to do them when they were young.
I wonder how insurance companies feel about that.
Yes, yeah, right. I'm very curious. Great question, Beth. Very good question.
I talked to my dad yesterday, who's in his mid to late 70s, and he said, yeah, I had that interview where they ask, okay, how many times have you fallen this year? Do you have a handrail on your stairs? And all the questions that they ask for your insurance.
quote, there they're going to add, so do you skydive?
Exactly.
Right, right.
Are you going rollerblading?
Ryan Hausman, founder and CEO of Stracure, which commissioned the survey, said, it's great to see people of this age adopting a zest for life. Mm-hmm. As the research suggests, this is because they now have more time for themselves and feel ready to take on new challenges. More than half, 52%, think it's important to have aspirations, and 3 in 10 are more likely to fulfill these now that they are at later stages. And we are seeing a huge increase in this and the decline in Alzheimer's and dementia,
mm-hmm.
And other certain diseases that they're not necessarily saying this is instantly going to help you with it, but it adds up. Like, mm-hmm. you do these things, you have these activities, and you tend to be able to stave off the those diseases right. a little longer.
And it's a wonderful example of it's never too late to do something new.
Yeah.
And to take on a new hobby or try something that you haven't done before.
A woman in Nevada smashed through the wall of her shower after she discovered that her cat, Winston, had been walled in by a contractor earlier that day. She said she heard him meowing on the other side of the wall, enlisted the help of her boyfriend and Winston's favorite snack, cheese. Once the hole in the wall was big enough, Winston emerged and he was fine.
Yay.
But he would not stop complaining about it the whole day.
Making her feel guilty. Yeah. You didn't keep an eye on me.
That cat will never let her live that down. On Friday, a Las Vegas police officer and a bystander bravely pulled a driver from a car crash just seconds before it went up in flames. The LVMPD posted a video online. The driver was taken to the hospital, but there's no word on his condition. It's also unclear what caused the accident.
Wow.
Boy, those ones get you. Yeah, mm-hmm. that is really something right there. And a month ago, a man in Arizona jumped into a chilly Arizona canal to save another man and his dog, Smokey Bear. The dog was watching the ducks from the edge and had fallen in. Pulled his owner in, too, and the men reunited last week. And the hero said, I don't think I'm a hero. I just think I'm a human. I every winter we have these stories mm-hmm. of things like this, and they just never get old to me.
Mm-hmm.
There were countless stories I could have done this morning about like a human chain that was formed to help a dolphin.
Wow.
The countless stories of DNR or firefighters or different people stretching out on the lakes mm-hmm. to get a stranded animal or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
People taking in animals when they see them, you know, and cold nights like last night and mm-hmm. everything, just sitting out in the wild, all this kind of stuff, man. There are really, really good stories out there, everybody. I know it was a hard weekend.
Yeah.
I know if you paid attention to the news, it was difficult. And there mm-hmm. was a lot of things that I wanted to talk about all these past 3 hours. Where's our time better served?
Yeah.
When we talk about doing positive radio, we're not doing like fake positive.
Right.
Real positivity is sometimes it's hard to smile. Sometimes it's hard to keep your head up, but you do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And we're able to do that together as a community, as a country, thanks to great listeners like all of you out there.
Yes.
Great show, everybody. Thank you so much. That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Stick around. Yeah. Playmakers coming up. Seth Habhagger and I are going to be hanging out, taking your phone calls with your sports thoughts and feelings. Get ready to call up on the show. Melissa, Beth, you guys have a great morning.
You too, James.
Thanks. You too, James.
We'll talk to you soon tomorrow on more morning show on WFHR, locally grown radio.